Well, good morning. Here we are again, getting close to the end of the year, and the festive season is truly upon us. So,
Festivus?
the Festivus, yes,
The
isn't that Greek?
Festivus for the best of us?
Is that Greek or is that, I don't know, Latin?
No, that's Seinfeld.
Oh, does it have a pronoun?
It's a he or a him.
Oh, okay,
Wait a
fair
minute.
enough.
I don't know if the Festivus tree is it or a he or a him or a her or an it or they.
Well, I'm pretty sure somebody will correct us.
I
They
have
might as
no doubt. I no doubt. We're pretty good. Listen, our weekly program has become weekly today. It is a week ago we did the last show. We're
Well, and
improving with age.
not to throw a spanner into the works here, but we'll be off on this side of the continent for a while as we head down to celebrate the Festivus season with family and friends. So it could be a while before I'm on the air again.
Well, we'll
Or
just
I'll
have.
take the computer with me and
Well, maybe we'll be able to do a remote with you from an unknown. That's what we'll do from an unknown destination. Bob is reporting in. Ignore
well
those palm trees back there. They're not really there.
it's the new background.
Oh yeah, it's a new background. Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, we'll work on that for sure.
Yeah.
I think we have the technology to do that.
Probably do. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I'm quite sure that as like today, we'll have no end of things to talk about.
Well, that's true. Pre-production even sent off a couple of things of issues that are going on, not just here in Canada, North America, but around the world. And yes, there is no end to the inanity. Is that a word, inanity? Regardless.
Stupidity, moronity. Yeah. Well, I guess it's there's no end to it, and good for us because otherwise we couldn't sit here and pontificate every week about
Well, it's true.
all this nonsense that surrounds us. By the way, I got a report. Or you know what? Let me back up. AI is an interesting creature. Because it can do good things as well as scary things, but one of our platforms, and I don't think I should name it because then people will want to, change from one platform to the other. So I'm not going to. But one of our podcast platforms said that our last session a week ago had 187 downloads. That means people actually downloaded to the device to listen to some other time. And of course, podcast is just audio. So, we are on three different audio platforms. So folks can play roulette and say which one has the one that downloaded 187 times. Nevertheless, they also did a little survey of the 187 people who downloaded this or whoever downloaded 187 times. And three issues were of interest to our listeners. Number one was the news that we follow and make commentary about, make observations and so on. That was number one. Number two, they liked our banter back and forth about other things, which are totally unrelated to border poll issues or news or what have you. Interesting enough. And the third one was, could we talk about cultural things like music and whatever? Which I thought was interesting because I don't believe we've ever really talked about music.
No.
But we can start today because person of the year is Taylor Swift, according to Time Magazine. And that I think she's a singer.
Very true. Yeah, very talented young woman. No doubt about that. Seems to have quite a grasp of the music industry and how things work. And apparently, my estimation, seems to be pretty smart with her money. So yeah, maybe that is a, you don't have to be an entertainer, but yeah, if you're smart with your money and know what you're doing. I guess that's.
Marry famous football player, or be engaged to a famous football player, or like
Yeah.
watching football, or own a football.
I don't, yeah. That to me is just another side issue. Whether people getting paid lots and lots and lots of money to do something that they love. Well, look at us. We do this. We don't get paid lots and lots and lots of money, that's for sure. We're doing what we
We
love.
don't.
Well, I haven't noticed it in the
I didn't get a trophy either.
It must be in the mail.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Three famous lies. Well, I won't go into that at the moment because you're not.
No, but I'm pretty sure that most of our listeners know what they are.
So in keeping with the survey that we didn't ask for, but we're told about, the second item was, banter over the fence, which apparently is also interest to our viewers and listeners. So on in pre-production, you were telling me about how in your neck of the woods, i.e. Canada, zeroing in on the province of British Columbia, you have new housing rules that are being invented by your all-seeing, all-knowing government.
Yes, well, and again, it's just my understanding of that, which I will admit could be off base.
Remember what you do in broadcast. In my opinion, did it, did it, did it.
Maybe I should, in my humble opinion,
Oh, okay.
the expansion of our rapid transit and to areas where the rapid transit train system, elevated train system is. The government has decided in their infinite wisdom that they will allow building and are actually kind of mandating that building in the new stations will be very dense. Looking at, in some cases, putting apartment buildings that are up to 40 stories high along these routes. And I'm wondering, well, that sounds very, very good. It sounds very interesting, very progressive. Everybody should have a house to live in. But where does that put the current infrastructure for these places? I don't know how it is in other places in Canada, North America, around the world, where you have large cities. Well, I can say here in Vancouver, some of our infrastructure is over 100 years old. Now you start putting more and more and more infrastructure under those aging sewer mains and water pipes. Something's going to give somewhere along the line. We have transit system right now where the roads are atrocious, you know. We look forward to winter when the potholes fill in and the roads are smooth. You know, I mean, it's just, we're not spending money where we should be spending money. And coupled with that, the government has also said that they are now approving for very, very fast issuance of building permits, four or five cookie cutter molds. So therefore, if you are a developer and you have these four or five different molds, you can start putting these houses up and there won't be as much red tape, which, you know, I can't say is bad, but it kind of made me think of the old Eastern Bloc of the Soviet Union, where you.
Lego buildings, we used to call them when I was in Eastern Europe, in Warsaw, Budapest, Moscow. These are boxes, 600, 400 to 600 square foot boxes, filing cabinets people go in and come out of. Very ugly buildings architecturally. It's very, yeah, it's very Soviet in its approach, clearly.
And I guess it's all being done under the name of housing. You know,
No,
everybody
it's
keeps
no,
their
it's
house.
it's no. I have to disagree with you, Bob. It's in the name of solving a problem they created. Okay, because you can't be in business unless you solve a in government. These politicians let's screw something up, and then we're going to be so smart, we're going to show you how we fixed it. You know, the adage, the old adage, common sense is, if it doesn't need fixing, don't fix it, right? It's not broken, don't fix it, right? These guys deliberately break stuff. So the first thing you do is you decide that let's bring in 1.5 million people into Canada, for example, but there's no housing for them. Oh, that's it. They don't talk about how the problem was created. They talk about how they're going to solve the problem by building this kind of rubbish that you just described. And, and you know, that's leadership, don't you know? We're doing serious leadership here. We know what's good for you because
well, yeah,
that's the kind of people we are.
And coupled with that, I kind of wonder, which we had also talked a bit about in pre-production, was who's getting paid the better lunch for some of this stuff?
I'm going to put on my technical hat. Hang on.
And just down the street from us, we have a low-income housing building block. And it has been there for decades. And we don't have a problem with the people there. I'm hoping that the people there don't have a problem with us. But it's all part of the community. Well, lo and behold, in this, as we're talking about now with Everybody Deserves a Home, a developer has come up with an idea that they're going to knock down some of these single residential buildings and put up an apartment tower that will have places for people with disabilities to live, or people that are challenged can have a place to live. And our official community plan says that you can have a building that is 6 stories high, provided that the 6th story is offset by 5 meters. Which, you know, I don't know what that means as far as
30 feet from the property line, more or less, in feet.
But so what happens is that the building developer, who has built a great many places in the Lower Mainland here, took it to city council and said, well, if you don't let us have 6 stories without the 5 meter offset, we're not going to build this. And so, I'm thinking, okay, so he's trying to call our bluff. We should go back and call his bluff. But oh, no. We now have an exemption, which, as you know, as well as I do, having worked in the government, that once you issue one exemption, it's the rule, and you have a very, very hard time backing down. Well, you gave it to company X. You know what? Why can't we? We're company Y. We need to have the same benefits and the same exemptions. So in this particular case, what really bothered me was, as we had spent, I don't know how many millions of dollars, talking to the local community to build the official community plan. And we had open forums, and we had write-in sessions, and we had this, and we had that, and the official community plan came up with what the community was willing to bear. Which apparently, if you buy, developers buy the lunch, or they threaten to pull out of projects, the official community plan apparently isn't worth the money that was spent, the time that was spent, nor the paper that is printed on. I don't understand where, you know, we have an elected government that does things. They're supposed to be working in our interests, municipally, provincially, federally. And it seems more and more and more that it goes back to the famous Thomas Sowell's line that a politician has 3 interests. One is to be elected, the second is to be reelected, and the third is maybe, just maybe, your problems and your concerns. But they're certainly not going to be addressed until the first and second ones are looked after.
I think Thomas Sowell needs to be updated. The fourth one is, how thick will my wallet or my purse be when I leave office?
Well, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's an age old sort of conundrum. If you think back, most people get sick of politicians because their due date comes around pretty quickly. Because after a while, you're like fish, they start to stink. You know, you elect them, they give you all kinds of promises, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then you see after a while, they become basically fish, rotten fish, and you want them to go. That's the
Which was
first
the
thing.
politician on that one, that or the comedian who had that? Yeah. Politicians and baby diapers have one thing in common. You need to be changed, and it's for the same reason.
Exactly. And they come in all political stripes and colors. So it's not like you know, because it's cyclical. I mean, look at in Washington and Ottawa and in London, nobody likes the people who run the show anymore. They run, you know, they run their due dates. Time for a change. The trouble is that the change comes in, they get things going, and then they start to run out. The same thing will happen to them in 4 to 6 years, obviously, unless for some bizarre reason, which we've yet to see in modern history, where there's actually a warming to the leadership by the population. Now, there's some countries that seem to have figured that out, but in the media-driven, greed infested swamp called Ottawa, Washington, London, you know, these people don't last long because they simply run out of money to give to. I mean, look at in Canada, you've got a government that pays off the media to shield them from any you know, embarrassing questions. You got a guy in London who's supposedly a breath of fresh air, and he hasn't got a hope in hell of being reelected. You got a guy in Washington who I don't think he knows he's in Washington, you know, which is a terrible thing to say. So you know, there's a lot, and never mind all the corruption and you know, look at how the trend here now is in North America. Commonality is if your speaker is a fool, get rid of him. Okay, so we got rid of the speaker in Canada. Americans got rid of their speaker in the Congress. Now you got replacements, but neither one of them are particularly palatable to the vast majority of folks. Going to get rid of them again. I mean, you know, we're going through a cycle of real doubt about what the hell is happening in our society. And we've allowed 20 years. Again, we've spoken about this before because we're just two old guys who've seen it. A whole bunch of people who had boxes checked off for various reasons, but the one that the big box at the bottom, which was merit, that's never going to be checked off because that's not important in the scheme of things. And these people are in charge of stuff, and hence we see why the some of the pundits say everything is broken. Everything isn't broken. Everything was broken or is being broken by people who are more concerned about how, you know, they look on in the press, or how you know what woke nonsense they're able to you know project, because they actually think that's what the vast majority of people want. And I think the real issue here is the vast majority of people haven't gotten hungry enough yet to say, okay, enough is enough. But I think signs are there that you know, the lying and cheating and the greed and the scuzzy approach to dealing with people is starting to percolate. And it's the trouble is you don't know how quickly that boils over, and then you got another set of problems you have to deal with. But you know, we're speaking very broadly. But you know, in my neck of the woods, you know, you talk about the provincial level out on the West Coast in Canada. Here we had the town I live in here just recently decided that they were going to put in a financial support to developers. Again, housing issues. We're going to build all these houses. If you don't put a big sewer in, then these houses won't be built. Well, the developer never asked for the money to be subsidized to build sewers. All they wanted was a permit to have the housing development approved. Then, out of the clear blue sky, the leadership of the town suddenly decided that the developer should get a 25% subsidy for a bigger sewer, because we're going to develop the town even further, even though there's no plan there's actually nothing on the books. Most of the properties that you're talking about is farmland, which has to be converted to housing purposes. And the other side of the road where all this is supposed to take place is a park, which, by the way, is under the jurisdiction of the province and the conservation group. So you're not going to turn that into anything, all right? It's but basically, those of us in a little community here decided that, we're not going to sit and watch them jack up our costs for water and sewer services, because that's all this is. They go out and they borrow money, and then we have to pay it back, and they'll never stop taking the money from us. So, we've been making representations at town council, and to say the elephant in the room is the developer never asked for this money, but suddenly certain people in town council who don't even live in this neighborhood decided that they know how to lead. All of us NIMBYs here better just shut up and stay in the corner, because they are going to build a sewer that'll last 100 years. And 100 years from now, those people will be thankful for the decision that these people made. So 6-1, they voted to basically charge the heck out of us, make our wallets a little lighter every quarter, because they're gonna fix the housing problem. And this is the part that I thought was, so disingenuous. And you can see how there's layers of these lies. So in BC, they're talking, oh, the housing crisis is going to be solved. Well, who started the housing crisis? We know that, okay? So these guys here at the lowest level, at the municipal level, in my opinion, are also corrupted by this, because they say, oh, the housing, it will solve this here in this little town. It's basically a beach town. We will solve this problem. But, we're going to take money out of the pockets of the residents already here, because we're showing the leadership, and we're going to, because there's a housing crisis. And you go, this, where was the brown envelope delivered to these people? So, listen, if it looks like corruption, it smells like corruption. In my opinion, it is corruption. Okay. So they all get a trophy from the municipal level to the provincial or state level and to the federal level. And then you wonder why people think politicians are scumbags.
Well,
It's,
yeah, and that's been a slow process to erode away, and it's once it hit that magic apex, it's going downhill real quick. And you talk like people not being able to afford to, I don't know if you saw on the news the other night, but the native population, and I don't mean just First Nations, I mean the people that are living up in the northern part of the country here, a can of soup is $11.29. Right?
was never cheap up there to begin with,
It
but you
was
got to
never
get it there.
cheap. But holy smokes, like, when are you going to stand up and start thinking that your taxation is driving part of this? Right? This so-called carbon tax to, 100 years from now, when I know I'm not going to be here, people will still be looking at carbon dioxide because plants produce it.
Well, you're not following the political science. You're following natural science. So you're a
Well,
climate
yeah.
denier by following natural science.
Well, I guess that I'm not a climate denier. I think we have climate.
Yeah, it's
Pretty
not
sure we
deniable
do.
we have climate. You're right. All right. No, I mean
There's just
we're being a little
so
silly here,
much
but
of it.
that's right.
And then I read the on one of the flyby news things that here we are in Canada that with our willy-nilly spending of money, some of which has to deal with the fact that we have a gender-neutral cabinet of 38 cabinet ministers. I don't even think there's that many in Washington or
No,
in Britain
no,
or
no.
Australia or New Zealand.
No, we're
But if
governed by
we're
the
not
young people.
careful, our
Okay, what's
GST, which is kind of a federal tax level, all the money that's coming in from that, and I don't know how many billions of dollars that rolls into. If we're not careful, we're to the point where all of that money is going to be paying just the interest on our debt. So at what point are we going to have to start to stand up and say, enough is enough. let's start looking at what we don't have. Like, I mean, our finance minister said that on the on one of her news snippets. I'm feeling the pinch. I think that we're going to have to cut our Disney Plus channel.
That
Okay.
famous, yeah, well,
All right. Maybe that is a
it's
necessity. So why are we having that? And what is the government going to start to look at and say, we can't afford to do that. We have to do this.
look, Canada is the petri dish for woke worldwide. Okay,
Oh.
let's just be perfectly clear here. Every goofy idea that's dreamt up at the moment, in my opinion, in Ottawa, is something everybody else looks at in the G7 or in the Anglo world and goes, that sounds like a good idea. And then it turns out not to be. Okay. I mean, you look at how New Zealand has done stuff. It really is. We've talked about this before. New Zealand, Australia, United States, Canada, and Britain, Great Britain, have all got this revolving door of idiotic ideas that, for the most part, are tested out on us. We're like guinea pigs in this whole woke nonsense. Okay. It's everybody in Canada got a trophy 20 years ago. This is what we got today. Okay. But I
Yeah.
know, just two old guys over the fence going, this is all screwed up. But it is what it is. And it won't end well, because we don't produce anything. More than half the population of this country works for the government now, whether it's municipal, provincial, or federal, or some creation of one of those entities. Well, you can't sustain a society that doesn't make anything, that doesn't, it's not to say that everybody who works for government isn't actually doing something, but they don't produce anything. You and I work for the government decades. We don't make anything. We provide a service for society on very basic things. The most things government get into is basically pushing paper from one table to another. Now we do it electronically. I mean, these right now they don't even show up in offices because they're working from home in their pajamas. Again, a stereotypical comment, but this is silly. You can't run a society where nobody makes anything. If you don't want to, if you don't want to build buildings, be a bricklayer, you don't want to be a plumber, you don't want to be a doctor, you can't just be someone who creates a rule that creates a job, because that's what we've been doing here now for decades. We create work for lawyers and consultants and for, all kinds of association, and we administer administrations. I mean, you this is a death knell, and you can see how it's starting to manifest itself. And frankly, I'm on December the 8th, 2023, I'm very pessimistic about how this country stays together when there isn't any focus on what the hell it is it's supposed to be doing. And by the way, the cavalry's not coming from the United States, because they're just as wacky in some of these things as we are, if not more so. Plus, they have nuclear weapons. Duh.
I think the worst thing that'll happen here is if there's an election called and the current administration is reelected. I agree with you. That will be the, I think, the final nail in the coffin of.
I don't think we'll last that long. It's 2 years away. This country can't last that long. There's an election coming closer in the U.S. I'm not sure how that's going to turn out. That's for another broadcast, maybe with
Yes.
some American colleague who can give us an insight on that. But
Yeah.
listen, there's only two things that this bunch understands, and that is war, because they're starting another one now in Venezuela. I don't know if you saw that. We can't seem to keep our parts in our pants in Ukraine or in Israel or in Taiwan. Now we want to mess up in South America. So they go and they encourage this lunatic in Venezuela to look at some map from the 1800s and decides we're going to take over Guyana, because lo and behold, there's gas and oil there. And all this hardwood that's very useful to an economy. And isn't it coincidental that the sanctions were removed from Venezuela just recently, because Washington needs oil, because they depleted their reserves and can't get any from Russia or Saudi. So let's make a mess down there. And already the guy in Guyana Self-Defense Force is calling in the American military to help them deal with the Venezuelans. Well, lo and behold, guess what's going to happen next?
Well, and coupled with that is I think something that you have alluded to many times. Countries are not broken. It's the politics that are broken.
Totally.
So there we have the US who's looking for a great source of oil, but up here where we have great sources of oil, we've got a current administration that doesn't want us to be able to dig that up. And
Oil bad.
oil bad.
Woke good. We save world. Oh, come on. Now we're a comedy show. That's not what the survey was about. Anyway, we're down to our last minute, Bob.
Well,
We
that's
never
true.
got to the real news. We got to take a shot at Venezuela. Well, that's it.
Well, that's true, and I don't know about you, but I know I can't really carry a tune without a big suitcase, so I don't think I'm going to be doing any singing. So,
Well, listen, we will catch up with you somewhere in an unknown location from a hidden bunker.
well, we hope it doesn't have to be a bunker. Because then things have really got out of hand.
Well, I'm not going to wish you anything with season's greetings or whatever, because I'll talk to you before then. So this is a bridging comment. Drive safely. Have a good time.
Yes, and really, let's just we hope that everybody has a wonderful festive season.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Yes,
All right.
that could be the new catchphrase.
You got it. I'll see you soon, Bob.